inside college football. This is the College Football Connection Podcast with Marty Jenkins and Alvin Reed on 101 ESPN.
Spooky season has passed for one of the powerhouses. Here's looking at you, Sooners, which means it's time to flip the calendar to November and week number 10 of the College Football Connection. Bradford Bruns, Alvin Reed, Marty Jenkins with you on this evening. Guys, we are psyched for the back half of the college football schedule and really couldn't be more pumped for as much.
I'm telling you, man, TCU's playing Texas Tech right now, and it's so funny. I'm thinking, like, it seems like TCU played Colorado last year.
Yeah.
It seems like that long ago. But, hey, it's been a hell of a season so far. Good season for us here on the program. So, hey, man, let's keep it going.
And
what do you say?
We're not going to gloss over the Jayhawks' contributions, the accolades and achievement from last weekend, but we do want to bring into the fray our esteemed co-host, Marty Jenkins, joining us remotely tonight. This is history, I guess, for us.
Yeah, out in Wildwood, watching the kiddos tonight. The wifey went to Ruth Chris Steakhouse, so she made out on the better end on that deal. Mm-hmm. Alvin, tell me you weren't by the lake with those goalposts.
I did not go to the pond. Potter's Lake is more like a pond. Did not make it up that way. Man, it was a wet, long, very cold day at times. But by the end of it, hey, we were all warmed up. And I can tell you this, it's funny. Younger Alvin probably would have kicked it all night long. But this Alvin literally was back in the hotel in Overland Park after dinner, after two big old gigantic bourbons. It was not 8 o'clock yet, and I was in bed watching college football.
Still feeling great. Mature Alvin, responsible Alvin. Hey, nonetheless, a triumphant weekend that was for you, for your Jayhawks, and for us, quite frankly. Now, gentlemen, for the season to date, we have that record of 141 and 118. Want to keep it rolling as we dig into a quartet of contests this week. Let's start with the party at 2:30 p.m. in Athens, Georgia. Mizzou jumping up in the rankings, number 12 CFP style, number 14 overall in the Associated Press's favor, going into Georgia, number one Georgia, at least as far as the rankings are concerned, according to the Associated Press. And right now, guys, looking at this from afar or objectively speaking, that number, the Bulldogs favored by 15.5 in this tilt. The total is set at 54.5. And Marty, I have to think I'm somewhat surprised by the total nearing two touchdowns and a field goal. But then again, as we saw on Saturday, Georgia outright obliterated Florida, and that Bulldogs team does seem to be gaining more and more steam as this campaign progresses.
Yeah, no Brock Bowers, no problem thus far with that offense.
Yeah.
That running game, they're just plowing through people, NFL talent all over. Maybe Bowers be back in the next few weeks. But listen, kudos to Mizzou. One of the bigger stories in the country right now, considering what their preseason, you know, prediction was, I don't think they're getting talked about enough, to be honest with you. But, you know, 17.5 open up, down to 15.5. Like I said, you know, Mizzou's offense is good, but I'd be stunned if they got into the 30s in this game. You know, Mizzou, great offense, lots of weapons. But, you know, this one, you know, between the hedges, Georgia's going to score a lot of points. I love the over in this game, and I also love Georgia to cover. Mizzou has been a great story. Just too much firepower down south for this Mizzou team.
I'm with you on the over. I am going to give Missouri their due. Come on, 15.5, that's too many. I'm looking like maybe 34-24. Georgia, I can tell you this. Last week, I'm 2-6, and it's because I kept saying, that's too many points. That's too many points. And man, Oregon laid it on somebody. You know, like, I was just thinking, oh, too many points, huh, Alvin? Well, I really do think this is too many points. I think Missouri can stay in the game for three quarters or come back, maybe late, put up 10 points, gratuitous. I like 34-24 Georgia, so thus I am going to take the over, but I'm also going to take Missouri to cover.
Given the bye week, gentlemen, and we don't really know with this iteration of the Mizzou offense, which has been drastically different. It's an overplayed narrative ever since, well, post Middle Tennessee. We understand that. I'm very intrigued, though, to see exactly what Kirby Moore, in conjunction with Eli Drinkwitz, are able to do with that time off and with some of, probably more specifically, some of the key offensive personnel getting time to rest up. Cody Schrader somehow went out against the Gamecocks, despite a quadriceps that literally required him. We asked him in the press room after that verdict on homecoming. He had been in the training room for upwards of 10 hours per day in the week leading up to that game. He needed some time off. Brady Cook, Luther Burden, the assorted dings, the bumps and bruises that are wrought over the course of the first 7 to 8 weeks. These guys have been going since fall camp. They needed the time, and I do think there's something to be said for that as they get ready to hit the road. Last year in Columbia, this was a game, and a great one at that, for a large percentage of the action. It's a totally different story, and I understand that between the hedges. Having said that, the strides that Missouri has made, the strides that this defense over the last couple of weeks has made in terms of being able to flip field position, if only occasionally, I like Mizzou's ability to stay in the game for the better part of 2 to 3 quarters. Yes, in the fourth quarter, if Georgia needs the yardage, if Georgia needs to establish itself, assert itself at the line of scrimmage, Mizzou hasn't exactly seen that sort of power in the trenches, that sort of horsepower and sheer masculinity. I think it's a game for longer than a lot of people believe. Therefore, I will take MU to actually win this one against the spread. But conversely, I'm actually anticipating fewer points in this contest. I really am, because of the talent levels involved. And I foresee some turnovers, but not necessarily resulting in an influx of points. So I will basically ride to the contrary of you guys here in a couple of different respects. But it should be fun. At least the overall vibes, the atmosphere, Mizzou being relevant in a 2:30 game. Guys, they're actually playing at 2:30. Imagine that.
I hear you. If I'm wrong, I think it will be because of the scare that Missouri put into Georgia last year.
Yeah.
That there ain't no messing around with Missouri, and they know that. So I, not that that works against Missouri, but the whole we could just throw the cleats out there and we're going to put Missouri down thing, which the point spread kind of says will happen. I don't think Georgia's buying that.
I hear you there. Let's.
So you're rolling with the under, right, Bradford and Mizzou?
That is correct. Under as well as Mizzou on this occasion. Guys, let's move from the SEC, SEC country to out west and teams that are accustomed to putting up a bevy of points. Number 5, Washington at number 20, USC. Now, you tell me how USC is still ranked number 20 overall. I guess that's neither here nor there, but I am shocked, Alvin, that at this point in time, the Huskies, and yes, post-victory over Oregon, the team hasn't been blowing out the opponents to the same degree. But right now, for Washington only, I get it, it's on the road, you're going out to Pasadena, but you're only favored by 3 points in this instance. I'm shocked, honestly, even though that over-under figure of 76.5, that's right about in line with where I would expect. It's a mammoth total.
It is a mammoth total, but I'll tell you what, this is one where I'm trying to gauge Las Vegas. I'm trying to gauge USC is overrated. I'm trying to gauge Washington is not playing the best football that they have all season. Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, I'm taking USC. I think we're either looking at a 1 or 2 point game or USC wins outright.
Ooh.
I just think that USC plays their best football game of the year. For some reason, I think USC comes to play, shows Washington that maybe they do deserve to be 20 or higher. This is CFP, okay? And I got to go on the under, though, because good Lord, 77 points.
Approaching
80. Like, come on now. You know, that's, 40 to 37, and you've covered by half a point. I'm going to go with the under, but I think USC is going to actually show up and play a good football game, and I think they're going to cover.
And along those lines, Marty, maybe this is an opportunity for Caleb Williams not to necessarily reassert himself, but after the first 3 to 4 weeks of the season, basically everybody has been looking for the chance to take away that Heisman encore from Caleb Williams. And he's perhaps about to remind a lot of people, all right, I have the Huskies in my backyard. Let's go toe-to-toe with Penix Jr. and see who comes out on top.
Yeah, I'm actually I'm intrigued by this one as well. I'm actually rolling with Alvin on this one. Listen, I do think Caleb Williams is good for a couple of picks in this game. Penix probably going to be the Heisman winner. People are expecting a shootout here at the Coliseum. You know, the defense for USC is really bad. But I think the Washington defense actually does do decent against USC. I think this is going to be a low scoring affair, actually. Like I said, I think Williams and Penix, they're going to each throw a pick, but I also think they're going to throw some touchdowns as well. But I think it's going to be a sloppy affair. feeling each other out. I really like USC to win this game, and I think the under hits as well. And once again, you know, USC has underachieved all year long. They have talent. The defense is not good. But I just have a bad feeling about this one with Washington. And you look at the point spread, you know, they know what they're doing for a reason. I think USC wins this game outright. Give me the under as well.
Well, it's typically a sloppy affair whenever the Trojans' defense is involved. However, I will say that so many people, so many pundits and prognosticators, Alvin, across the nation are really, it would appear, just salivating at the chance for Washington to slip up and for vaunted Oregon to assume that spot as the undisputed number one team, the undefeated team that is in the Pac-12 going forward. I'm looking at all of the different variables in this contest, and I just can't ride with you guys insofar as taking USC to win outright or even to cover. I think that Washington gets better in terms of being able to have a more cohesive, balanced offensive attack, and you have to hope for as much if you're a Huskies fan against the likes of USC. Having said that, 76-plus points? No, this will get well into the 60s, but I'm going under for the total. But Huskies, I'll say double digits nonetheless. Double digit for the victory there as far as that is concerned.
All right, I'll tell you this. The only defense that is going to stop Caleb Williams from winning the Heisman Trophy is his own. If they could get some stops and he could get the ball back with a lead half the time, I think he would. The show would have continued. But if you're trailing to lesser teams or you're having to score 50 points to win a game, that you're just throwing the ball and you're making turnovers and just a lot of crazy stuff is going on. I think USC plays enough defense that they come away with a victory, too. I'm kind of with Marty on that, but I will take my 1 or 2 point loss because I'll cover.
Slinging it around, we'll see what ultimately comes to fruition. Another team that downed Mizzou, the only team to have bested Mizzou so far in 2023, that would be LSU, my friends. And LSU travels to Tuscaloosa this weekend, where, wouldn't you know it, the early season loss sustained by the Crimson Tide to Texas. Texas up to number 7 again in the rankings. Here we are with November just getting started, and Nick Saban's team, I'm not going to say it's peaking, but more than relevant right now in the SEC picture. And this is an intriguing matchup, to say it mildly, for a lot of different reasons. Right now you have Bama, slightly improved quarterback play. We're seeing slightly improved quarterback play. 3-point favorites at the moment with an over-under of 60.5. Marty, as opposed to years past when we saw maybe some more slugfests from this particular rivalry, are you playing the over on this one? Do you expect some fireworks this weekend?
Listen, I'm really excited to talk to you guys about this one. First off, I'm going to talk about this game in general. I think LSU is going to beat the brakes off of Alabama in Tuscaloosa.
Oh,
they can score. I think they light up that Bama defense. It's not good. Bama can't put together a full 40. They haven't done it all season long. I really, really like LSU in this game. That offense is going to do whatever they want. Give me LSU. And in terms of the over-under, give me the under. But let me ask you guys this, just as a side note. We don't need to delve into it. We could save it for a couple weeks down the road. But do you think if LSU runs the table, meaning they beat Georgia in the SEC title game, they would get in with 2 losses?
No, I would have to say no. If KU ran the table, won their next 5 games, I think they got about as good a chance as LSU does.
Hey now.
It's a moot point because LSU is about to get that ass whooped, Marty. Marty, come on, man. Come on. Man, Alabama, vengeance is mine, saith Nick Saban. Man, going to 2-point and all that last year, and everybody made LSU out like they were the greatest team ever because they beat Alabama, and then LSU went straight down the drain. My boy Brian Kelly going to leave that stadium with his tail between his legs. Alabama covers easily. It is an under, though. I am going with the under because LSU is a no-show, no way. Alabama easily covers the 3.
16.5 is a big figure. I, too, will venture under in this category. I don't think it's going to be a whooping one way or the other. And I don't know, frankly, Alvin, with all due respect, given the inconsistency, yeah, Alabama's been better of late. The offense has been better. I don't know if I can envision Alabama just putting down the whooping stick on any team of substance in a conference rivalry fashion right now. Nonetheless, I don't know if you have a player as dynamic as Daniels and the rest of that conference, maybe even the whole country, when he is truly on and popping. This one really stymies me on a lot of fronts, but rarely has a Saban-led team, even one devoid of a little bit of talent up front more than usual, lets you down as November gets started and rolls into the real meat of the schedule. It's just a 3-point deficit right now, Alabama being favored by a field goal. I think in Tuscaloosa, Crimson Tide will figure out a way to string together field goals, yes, more of a defensive battle than we envision in the fourth quarter, because LSU's defense has actually been getting right to a degree over the last couple of games.
Alabama will score on offense, defense, and special teams. I'm calling it.
All right, you heard it here, but I'm still on Team Saban. At the end of the day, I will go down swinging in that capacity if need be. So Alabama covering and the under for that contest. How about some intrigue when it comes to Bedlam? Gentlemen, for the final time, for the foreseeable future, I guess we can say, you have Oklahoma State, you have Oklahoma meeting up this year in Stillwater. And oh, we've had some wars, multiple wars of words over the last week or so. You've got a transfer student athlete taking some shots at Mike Gundy. You've got Ollie Gordon, who all of a sudden has turned into one of the most explosive players in the entire nation. I don't know how the Sooners really plan to be able to hem him in, as that sophomore looks as explosive as anybody in the country right now. But it should be a really, really good one at Boone at Pickens Stadium. And when you think that right now OU being favored by 5.5, 60.5 over-under figure here, you know, the Sooners, as you well understand, Alvin, had a lot, that defense had a lot of holes poked in it just a few days ago.
You know, when I look back at the Oklahoma State game, you know, with KU, I still cringe because could have won that game. And I think Oklahoma plays a solid football game. I think they know they have to, based upon what just happened last week. Blew their chance, you know, maybe to be in the CFP. But I got news for you. It's the end of Bedlam. Oklahoma State is not letting Oklahoma out of that stadium without a real scrap. I like Oklahoma State to cover the 5.5. I don't like Oklahoma State to win the football game.
Me too.
All right? So I'm also going to go with the over, because I think this one will be just I think it'll be some absurd score.
Marty, the points could be flying in the Big 12, you know?
great segue there, because I think it's going to be an absurd score as well. You know, people expecting a shootout at the Coliseum. I think it's happening at Stillwater and Eskimo Joe's, baby. I think we're going to see a lot of points in this game, maybe even approach the over by a halftime, gentlemen.
I think it'll be wild. I think they'll both be in the 40s at least.
I think somebody's going to hit 100.
Hey, hang on.
Listen, I think this is going to be, hey, Polk's averaging 30-plus points a game last four games. We know Oklahoma can score. This is going to be a wild affair, great rivalry. Probably the winner's going to have mid-50s, I think, mid-50s. I like Oklahoma, though, and give me the over, and I think they stay in the hunt on the outside looking in for that Final Four.
Back and forth, it very well could boil down to, as we've seen on countless occasions this season, guys, which team ends up with that ball last. And I'm totally on the same page as regards the points. This one very well could get into the upper 80s, in my opinion. Oklahoma State has simply been playing too well since the pair of early season losses to dismiss at this juncture. And right now, to think about that divisional race, to think about the conference at large, and you've got a five-way tie for the top spot, the Big 12 is something major to monitor down the stretch here in 2023. So Oklahoma State to win against the spread outright. I think Venables and the vengeance that the Sooners want, they're not going to be taking this opportunity lightly, not in this setting whatsoever. So a lot of interesting picks. We've got some interesting picks and some differences for this particular weekend coming up. Before we get out of here, though, for week number 10, wanted to get your thoughts here as far as the initial rankings CFP style released on Monday night and a couple of subtle changes. Right now, the top dog, the Associated Press's top dog, would be Georgia. Not the case, according to the College Football Playoff Committee governing body. Alvin, surprised whatsoever?
No, I think no scandal at Michigan. Michigan is number two. I think that's why they're three. I think Ohio State is one over Georgia because Ohio State and Michigan are Michigan are going to play. I really think that top four and really down the next two teams, it doesn't mean anything because that'll shake out. That'll shake out between Ohio State and Michigan playing and then the conference championship games. So I really don't – that's cute, you know, but that doesn't mean anything, especially since Ohio State and Michigan play each other. Now, I really don't see either one of those teams losing before that game, especially Michigan. But, yeah, you know, we'll see.
I think you hit the nail on the head. It feels like a bit of a formality, Marty. Nonetheless, it is exciting to think about the different possibilities and all of the variables because we're counting all of those down, too, as we're just mere weeks away from conference championship tilts.
Yeah, I'm pretty okay with the rankings. I did think Washington would be fourth with FSU 5, but, you know, it's basically all the same. We'll see what happens in the next few weeks. But I'm very intrigued to see what happens if Ohio State or with the Ohio State-Michigan loser. I want to see where they fall, and I know we're several weeks away from that. But I'm interested in how much stock's being put in that Big Ten. I want to see if the loser of that game still has a chance in the Final Four. Many people say they will, but I don't think that's going to be the case. I think there's too many other teams at play here that have a better resume than both of those teams.
Well, I think Michigan plummets if they lose, one, because they don't want them in there anyway, but two, because they haven't played anybody.
Exactly. Who've you played so far?
Right. So I think if they lose that game, it's like, hey, man, hey, have fun at the Liberty Bowl. It won't be that dramatic. But listen, wait, Marty, if Michigan loses to Ohio State, I wouldn't bet $10 that Jim Harbaugh coached that team in the bowl game. I'm serious.
What a farewell.
Yes. And I'll leave you with this. This is crazy talk, I know. Jim Harbaugh leaves Michigan. Lance Leipold takes another job. Jim Harbaugh coaches the University of Kansas in 2024. Y'all buy that? He came close to taking the job 7 years ago. He came close to taking the job. Got family in the Kansas City area. His wife loves it out there. I'll just leave it at that.
Happens, I will take you to any restaurant in St. Louis and buy you a steak dinner if that happens.
All right. Here we come, Morton.
We know that Jim Harbaugh also adores the West Coast, and I look forward to all of the conjecture and the rumblings when he's poised to maybe take over Antonio Pierce's job in a matter of months. Yeah, I said it.
Okay. All right. I like to go out on that.
Hey, in any event, college football, pro football, this is the ideal time of the year. Week number 11, though, of the College Football Connection will be with you next week, at which point, hopefully, guys, we'll have the whole gang back in the building.
Absolutely.
But as per usual, it's been fun on this evening. Marty, thanks as always for popping on as well, and good luck with the picks. We're trying to keep that run going, guys. Raise that winning percentage cumulatively to about 60%. Pretty good for this time of year.
I like it, man.
Appreciate you guys.
Thank you all for listening. Until next time.
You've been listening to the College Football Connection Podcast with Marty Jenkins and Alvin Reed on 101 ESPN Sports Talk for St. Louis.